Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kerit, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Kerit, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, thou hast also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? Or hast thou? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we introduce in chapter 17 here then the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah is known in the Old Testament only by the accounts of him. There is no book of Elijah. He is not what we call a writing prophet. And yet, he is a prophet indeed. There is no doubt of the the office of Elijah. He is most certainly a prophet. And so the Lord sends him, although we're not apprised of the Lord sending him. This command to send him is not recorded. Still, he appears before Ahab and he says, "The Lord God before whom I stand." That's, of course, a statement of his office. "The Lord God before whom I stand says that there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, James, very interestingly, uses this passage to teach us to pray, and I would be remiss if I didn't. And so, as James uses that passage, he says, you know, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed that it should not rain for the space of 3 years, and if I can paraphrase, and you know what? It didn't rain. And he's doing that to tell us that we ought also to pray and faint not. We should not wear out in praying. And so the first use then that we want to make of this passage is the good use of prayer. We want to pray. We want to pray often. We want to pray fervently, sincerely. We want to pray for things according to the will of God. We know what things are according to the will of God when we pray from His Word. We have our prayers informed by His Word, by good example, by good teaching. We pray every week through the Lord's Prayer and the pastoral prayer, and then we recite that prayer to teach us to pray. When the disciples of Christ came to Christ and they said to Him, "Teach us to pray," He said, "Okay, here's a manner by which you ought to pray." And so this is why we pray the way we do. And there are many other things in Scripture that teach us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is not a comprehensive of all that the Scripture teaches us on prayer. But it is very, very, very good, very helpful. The New Testament tells us that we do not know, Paul tells us in Romans 8, that we do not know how to pray as we ought. In other words, you need practice. You need learning. You need to study in order to pray correctly. It's not like falling off a rock. Anybody can do that. Proper prayer is hard work. It requires education. It requires a lifting up of the mind. It requires deliverance from your natural aversion to such things. All kinds of things that prayer requires. And when we see Elijah praying that it should not rain, and then later praying again that it would, and the skies open, and also when we see him here praying for the young child that he would come to life again, that the Lord would send his spirit back, we learn from Elijah how to pray fervently, stalwartly, with great assurance. James also tells us in that same book that we ought never to pray doubting. We ought never to pray in such a way that we do not believe the Lord will do us good. That is to despair of His grace. We pray believing. We pray also humbly, acceding to the Lord's will in all of our prayers. So, lots of instruction there with regard to prayer. Notice also the courage of Elijah. The Lord tells him to do something. He goes and does it. He faces Ahab, who, by the way, was not what you'd call the nicest of guys, especially that wife of his. Later on, Elijah is going to fall in her crosshairs. And so much was she feared that Elijah flees from her presence even after the showdown at Mount Carmel, which is the next chapter, Lord willing, that we'll read. All right, so here's what the Lord does. He tells him to go. Notice that the Lord does not keep him in front of Ahab. The Lord does grant him some deliverance, because had he stayed in front of Ahab, that would have hazarded his life. And so the means of protection that the Lord chooses for him is to travel off and to stay into a canyon by the River Jordan. And the brook is what? Kerith, right? Yeah. That is before Jordan. And then he feeds him with raven food. Notice also that the feeding of Elijah here, it is not what you might call poverty level. He's actually getting some pretty good food, and pretty often for someone who's staying out in the middle of the wilderness, the ravens are bringing him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. The Lord is feeding him pretty well. He's taking good care of his prophet. So then the brook dries up by the word of the Lord. Now that was not necessary, was it? The Lord could have kept the brook Kerith flowing even though there was no rain throughout the entirety of the land. But the Lord is telling us here that sometimes in his service there is a change of venue. It's not always going to be the same. There are changing circumstances, and the Lord brings those about so that in every circumstance we will trust him. And so he sends him not to Jerusalem, but to Zarephath. And of course, when Jesus uses this terminology in Luke chapter 4, they're ready to throw him off the prow of the hill. But the Lord sends him to a widow woman in, well, outside of Israel, in Sidon. She's a Sidonian, Zarephath. And I could just, can't you just picture the knit brow of those Jews when Jesus says, well, there were lots of widows in Jerusalem, but the Lord sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. Right? Of course, the Lord does that because he is prophesying through this prophetic object lesson, if you will, that he is forsaking that land because they will not hear him any longer. And so what do we learn from that? That any church that will not hear the Lord will turn his face away. And that is the worst thing that could ever happen. The Lord takes his candlestick away because that church would refuse to repent to hear him. Well then, we have the miracle, the extraordinary providence of the oil and the meal. Notice the faith of the widow. She thinks she's about to die, and so Elijah says, well, give me a little, and then go dress for your son. Now, it's an interesting proposition. She might just as well think, well, I'm going to die anyway. So what do I have to lose here by giving Elijah the first portion out of the barrel? She may think that. And that's what we might call little faith, right? And yet little faith is blessed, isn't it? In fact, Jesus says, even the faith of a mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, in the hands of God can be fanned into a flame that is the greatest of all trees. So, Jesus says, the object lesson here is that even with a little faith, there is blessing. And so she makes the cake for Elijah and dresses it as he commanded her. She follows the word of the prophet and she finds nothing but blessing, right? Until the death of her son. But even in that hardship, she finds blessing once again. And so we close up by saying then that there is indeed blessing in hearing the word of the prophet. That is, that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we would be blessed, and that's an old-fashioned way of saying, do you want a blessing? If we would be blessed, we would obey what Christ has said. We would hear the word of that prophet and turn away from every false way. There were many gods in Sidon. And yet she chose the Lord, Elijah's God. And she followed his word. And she had success. What other god in Sidon could have given her meal from an empty barrel, and oil from an empty cruse, and life from an empty body? Right? None but the Lord God of Elijah. So there is, with him, life instead of death. Right? Okay. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms. And we'll sing Psalm 127, 1 through 5.